Hello and welcome back to Take It EV, the podcast where we charge through the world of electric vehicles. Hi, this is Greg. This is episode 49 of Take It EV. 49. So, today's episode is electric in more way than one. We've just hit over 1 million EVs on the roads in the UK as of March 2024. That's right, we're in the millions now, boy. It's a milestone that sparks a lot of excitement and shows the bright future of EVs. So buckle up as we drive into the what this means for you and others, whether you're a seasoned EV driver or just a starting, and or you think about getting into the driver's seat of an electric vehicle. So let's get on with it, so to say. The 1 million. Who would have thought, right? The when I got my first EV in 2016, there were quite a few of us. Like, I still remember people asking me, like, are you sure you're getting an EV? Like, you had a, you know, pretty good diesel car, powerful, blah, blah, blah. Why would you get yourself a piddly little Nissan Leaf, right? But I just loved it. I fell in love with it the moment I took off the eco mode and pressed my foot on the accelerator. What got you into your EV? If you're a new EV owner, welcome, first of all. Welcome to this still pretty elite club. But, you know, I would love to know, like, what got you over the threshold. Just write to me at, you know, takeitev@gmail.com. Just drop me a line. I love hearing from people. Or, you know, Mastodon and all the other places where you can find me, just type in Take It EV and you'll see where I am. 1 million, right? So I thought, why not just have an episode where we kind of go through things that I would give you as an advice? You know, we're all friends here. You'd be like, oh yeah, I've got a new EV, or I want to get an EV. What should I do? Like, what is the stuff that I need to be aware of? You know, despite of everything you hear in the news. What do you need to do to kind of make yourself comfortable, right? I mean, first of all, it is just a car. So, you know, let's just get out of the way. It just drives out like a car. But I'm going to try saying there's going to be 10 things that you probably are not going to hear from other media. Even the big, you know, podcasters or YouTubers that talk about electric cars, they generally avoid this stuff, or some of the ways I like to put things. But, you know, we're friends here, so I'm going to talk to you like a friend. So after the break, let's just say the tips for new EV owners. By the way, if you hear, you know, tippy-tappy noise in the background, that's the Take It EV co-host, Snowy. He doesn't bark much, but he's an oldie and he likes to tippy-tappy. And my wife's just out of the house, so he's trying to find her, little boy. He's 15 years old and he's just the cutest. The photos are on the Instagram if you're curious. Anyway, back to the show. So before I actually get to the tips for new EV owners or drivers, let's just talk about, you know, hitting the 1 million, sorry, not even the first. I hope it's the first, but the 1 million in the UK. I think it's a powerful statement that the UK is just plugging into the future, you know, a little bit more than we were hoping. And, let me reinstate that. I'm not going to pre-record this. It's way better than I thought. Should have come sooner, I think. You know, we were kind of all hoping that 2020 is going to be the the year of EVs, but then something's happened, right? And things got kind of slowed down, and there was a shortage of chips and whatever. The world kind of stopped for a bit, and you know, we had a holiday, shall we say? As far as the growth of things like EVs, in many ways, it was a great time for the planet because the pollution was actually on the pretty low for a few months, or even a year or so. But it did impact things like the transitioning to the greener and cleaner transportation. To steal Nikki's from Transport Involved, introduction. But I think it's still amazing that 2024 in the UK sees the 1 million. That's a huge number. I remember for the first few years of owning EV, we would be like cheering every time we saw an EV driving past or overtaking one. And now, I can just go down to the shops, 10-minute drive into town, and I'll see dozens of them. So how things have changed, right? Not to mention the amazing growth of the rapid network or rapid charging network around the country. It used to be sufficient for, small trips, but you had to plan them very carefully. But now you can't go 10 miles in this country without actually seeing an EV charger. And it's even better in Western Europe, I think. So, not too bad. I think this shifts, this kind of signals the shift towards the sustainable transportation. And it just shows us that this isn't just a phase, regardless of, how the current government is trying to steer us off this target lately. I think we're pretty good, and it is a new reality. So I think it's a clean and clear indication that the EV market is charging ahead, and that we're all here for the ride. And by the way, Norway, right? You heard of this little country? They're on the track for the number of EVs on the road to surpass ICE vehicles. And that's just pure EVs, not hybrids. So this is just what we call Chinorway on the cake. No, that was terrible. Apologies for that. Anyway, the 10, or the hint, the things you should do, or the suggestions or things you need to know when you're new to EV, or I would like to every EV owner, new EV owner, to kind of keep in mind or be aware of, this actually sounds scary, but things you should do when you're a new EV owner that will make your life way easier, I think, after this break. So, first of all, if you're entering the world of EVs, if you're new to this, it might feel a bit daunting. Like I, not a day goes by when I hear on the forum, I've got myself a new shiny EV. What should I do? What should I read? Like, what should I be aware of? What's the cool stuff that I need to do? So the first thing I always tell people, it's just like I said before, it is just a car. It surprised me how many people, when we got the Nissan Leaf, saw it for the first time in the flesh and actually got in as a passenger, and they were like, oh yeah, it's actually a solid car. I guess everybody was expecting, a Flintstones car or a little tinny shell, and they were quite surprised that it's a solidly built car. So yeah, EVs are just cars. I know, it's a surprise, but you'd be surprised how many people think differently. Maybe not these days, but it used to be a thing. So the first thing when you get an EV that I would like for you to be to do is get yourself familiar with charging. And this might sound silly, but it's a shift from the way the society has been kind of taught how to operate with automobiles. No, sorry, I just seem to trigger my Apple Watch. And again, I'm not going to edit this episode. so this just goes in. Anyway, where was I? So yeah, charging. It's an interesting one because you hear a lot of bad things on the news and, you know, and so on, but charging's not really that difficult or scary. I think what happens most of the time is that people are caught off guard when they you know, go further afield. So it's all great. It's all happy when you're in the routine, right? When you're just driving around the town and you plug in at home. But when you go further afield and you kind of, you feel like this, the lead basically has extended too far, it might be a bit daunting. So the thing that I always kind of suggest to people is, you know, simulate that sort of a thing, minus the panic. Just go around your town or your city, find yourself all the rapid chargers that you have in the area and just use them. It might be, you know, a bit of an expenditure, but I think it should put you at ease. Or at least, you know, I think it beats sitting at home and just watching the telly or scrolling the you know, Instagrams or whatever. I think it's a bit more entertainment. And let's face it, you got yourself a new toy, right? It's the reason why we buy new things in life is we want this adrenaline, we want this, you know, the new shiny excitement in our life, and this is just an extension of it. You know, I think discovering new things in life is what the life is all about. So I would suggest embracing it, and who knows, you might actually come across somebody like myself or other, you know, a seasoned EV owner at the charger, and if you have any problems, you can always chat to somebody. It's amazing. Again, just kind of reminiscing the old times when we got ourselves Nissan Leaf in 2016. I would drive around, you know, because it would be usually me charging or driving on long distance trips, and I remember just talking to pretty much every second driver that we would come across at the charger, because, you know, you're going to be there for a good 15, 20, 30 minutes. So you might as well just have a chat, especially when it's warm outside. And people were kind of a bit more friendly and open to have discussion. Not everybody, of course, because it's just a human nature. You don't always want to talk to other people. But quite often, you know, a chat would ensue and people would complain about how terrible the electricity network is and so on. And it's amazing how things have changed. So yeah, go out and basically test the charging. You know, about 2 weeks ago, I went to my local Costa Coffee, and there's an Osprey charger, or chargers. There's Osprey chargers at the retail park, and a guy turned up in a Renault, whatever, one of those new electric Renaults, and he was kind of looking around and, you know, trying to see what's going on. He actually chatted me up. He said, "Oh yeah, how do you do this?" And I showed him, you know, that you can use contactless, but you can do this with the app, and, you know, and all that. But you don't have to have an app. You can just use contactless if you so want. And he was very, very grateful. And he said, "Oh yeah, this is the second day of my ownership of this car, and I don't have the home charger yet. So I thought, you know, I'll just come around and check out this charger." And I thought, that's an amazing job. Like, you'd be surprised how many people don't even try to rapid charge their car, like to test it, basically just to see what it's like. Because when you're in a pinch, when you're on a trip, or when when the other charger you tried didn't work, it's good to have this confidence that you've already done this and this isn't new to you. And by the way, the first thing I would like you to check, especially if you have a Audi, I think it's the Audi, is to find the CCS port, the full port, not just the one that you use at home. This is one of those things that you sometimes see people turning up at the chargers and they pick up the cable, the CCS cable, and they open the port on the car and they're like, look at the cable, look at the port, look at the cable, look at the port, and they're like, this doesn't match. There's usually like a little flippy flappy thing at the bottom that you need to open up as well. So I think that's the number one. Just get familiar with the not just the home charger, but rapid charging and destination charging is the other one. You know, take the cable out. If your town has a bunch of destination chargers, I think destination charging is something that's underrated, and especially on long trips, you might be surprised how useful it is to be able to just plug in the car, leave it overnight, and wake up with a full battery, and not have to go to a rapid charger on your holidays. So charging. Check it out. Second thing on my list is finding your route, finding your way, you know, navigating the world of EVs. Like entering the EV world, you know, is a bit like navigating a new city without a map. You don't let that turn you off. But once you get your bearings, it's a smooth and enjoyable ride, right? So you need to understand your range. So, you know, how far your car can go. But also things like, even though your car might have a range, say, of 200 miles on a full charge, you're never going to drive 200 miles from, you know, 100% to zero. Just like an ICE car or any other vehicle, you're not going to put yourself in a position where you can't really go any further. And the estimated range of your car varies, right? What the manufacturer tells you is usually quite a blunt lie, just a marketing, thing. So I would just throw that out of the window and just find out what is the real range of your car, because it obviously depends on where you live, on the terrain, you know. Obviously, you're gonna use more power when you drive up the hill, right? That's just physics. There's no getting around it. But also being able to see, okay, say your car has 200 miles range. That's quite a reasonable assumption these days, but it might be that it has 160 miles of range, whatever it is. Just think about that's 100%. So what is it going to be at 80%, right? Just take that figure, plop it in a calculator and multiply it by 0.8 or 0.8, as we would say. But I'm just, you know, I'm trying to make this friendly for international audience. That's going to be your figure, right? So that's your 80% figure. And now assume your car is not going to be, you don't want to drive your car down to 0%. It's just not going to be fun for anybody. You're going to have to call, you know, somebody to tow you, essentially. That's not fun. So whatever that figure is, basically now say, okay, I want to be left with, say, no more than, or no less than 15%. So figure out what the 15% is. Do the maths. So, you know, again, 200 times 15% would be 0.15, right? Subtract that figure from the previous one, or just do, you know, 65% or 60% of that figure. That's going to be your comfortable long-range driving range. And that's something nobody tells you, but that's just the, you know, reality of it. Like when I started driving EVs, our Nissan Leaf in theory could do 105 miles, even though the manufacturer was saying 130 or something silly like that. There's no way that car could have done that ever, unless you just drive down the hill every time and then you put it on a train back up the road. So even that figure, even say 90 miles, that takes way, way longer than you think to drive. You know, say if you're driving on the motorway and the speed limit is 70 miles an hour, you're not going to be driving 70 miles an hour average speed. There's just no way. That's not going to happen ever. Even if you're driving in the middle of the road, trust me, that's just not the way the real world works. So it takes, you know, say the figure comes out 130 or 140 miles. That's your comfortable range. That is going to be quite a few hours of driving on the road. And that's going to be the figure you're interested in. And now, you know, put your favorite destination, your holiday destination, or your, like, this is the furthest I want to go. Be excitable. Just try going somewhere and see how far you can go and how many times you would have to stop along the way to charge. So basically, you know, if you say you want to go from London to Edinburgh, however mile that is, however many miles that is, sorry, divide that by the range you got out of your confuser. And this is how many times likely we'll have to stop along the way. These days, it's actually quite easy to find chargers. You have to go, you know, to a place like ZapMap or if you're outside of the UK, PlugShare. They're very good maps that actually show you where the charging points are. There might be a different place or different website in your country. These days, Apple Maps and Google Maps actually will show you charging points as well. So that's very useful. I don't think it's easy to find it in using a navigation, but, you know, at least you might be able to spot them. You might be able to say, okay, in this town or this city, I want to see all the nearby electric vehicle charging points, and it will show you on the map, which is very, very useful. So, you know, plot those trips on your couch in the comfort of your home. And who knows, you might be like me and you might say one day, well, I'm actually bored this weekend. Let's just go and drive to Edinburgh. You know, when I got my Nissan Leaf with the poor range that it had on one of the long weekends, I think it was in May, I can't remember exactly, I decided to just drive from London to Edinburgh, Glasgow and back because, and, you know, stayed overnight in a couple of places. And it was fun. And there were some hairy moments because obviously the car had a very small range and there wasn't as many chargers out there. I mean, I remember Scotland was actually pretty good because the charging was free. Actually, now that I remember, the electricity chargers were actually free as well at that time. Those were the days, right? But it was fun. It was a challenge that, you know, I kind of, once I did that, I was like, okay, well, I got this, you know. Even if I am going to be in a pinch, I'm kind of confident that I can do this, right? Wherever I went, I actually looked around for the local chargers because, again, the car had a 90-something mile range. So you had to be a bit more prolific about finding the chargers. Nowadays, with the e-Niro that we have, that car can do 250 miles on the charge. There is no hesitation. I find myself going to places like Yorkshire. I live in Tunbridge in the UK, in Kent. Yorkshire, you know, say 4.5 hours driving, 5 if you're driving slow and carefully. I have no hesitation sometimes to go to a meetup or to, you know, to see friends over there just because I want to. And I have to stop once or twice along the way. And it's mostly because 4 or 5 hours that requires me to actually have a comfort break, as they call it nicely, right? You need to go to the loo. You need to have a coffee or just stretch your legs because it's just boring sitting in a car for 5 hours. Now, let's be honest. So, yeah, just try to see whether you can navigate the world in your EV and you'd be surprised how easy it is. And if you, you know, took my previous advice, you're going to be super comfortable with those rapid chargers along the way. And trust me, you will see loads of ones that you've never seen before because this is still an upcoming and vibrant industry and things change all the time constantly. It's all exciting still. So I think we're in the sort of golden times when it comes to owning EV. So if you're a new EV owner, welcome. So speaking of road trips and charging, the other thing that I always suggest to people to try is to kind of maximize your EV driving experience. You know, it's surprising how many people who drive ICE cars just rev them up because they want that speed. And trust me, I'm just like everybody else. I'm aware of the speed. This is actually what hooked me or got me into EVs in the first place. It's a long story. You'd have to listen to some other previous episodes, but, you know, when I test drove the Tesla Model S back in 2014, I think it was, I was like, yeah, I need to get an EV. This is just, the ICE cars are dead, basically. And even though my diesel car Vauxhall Insignia could smoke the tires at 70 miles an hour if I reduced from 6th to 5th. I had loads of torque. EV just blew it off, blew it away. Like the Nissan Leaf was just felt like so much more fun, which was hilarious, basically, when I would tell that to people and try and explain that to them. You'd see the blank stare on their face. How can this little froggy-looking thing be exciting, right? But the but some of us got into EVs because we love the power and the and this is, you know, it's quite exciting to be able to step on it and just get off the traffic lines or whatever very quickly. So, but as much as fun that is, you can't really drive like that for 5-6 hours because, you know, physics is physics and it will eat into your range. It's just the way it is. Just like with the ICE cars, it will eat into your mileage, miles per gallon or whatever. It will eat into your range in an EV. And because the range of an EV is still smaller or lower than one of ICE car, you'll see that quicker. So we don't want that. So actually being able to, again, put yourself another challenge in front of you and get yourself to actually drive slower or, you know, a bit more conservative is one of those things that, you know, I always kind of recommend for people. Plus, it's more fun. Like, you have a car that actually doesn't make any noise when it accelerates. It doesn't vibrate, doesn't rattle. Just turn that experience to 11, right? Try driving in a slow and kind of, not slow, you don't have to be slow, but you have to accelerate slower. You have to bring it to up to speed slower. And then kind of trying to maintain that speed, anticipate changes up ahead. So don't, you know, don't drive too close to other people. There's, when it comes to hypermiling, as it's called, there's so much out there, so much misinformation, but so much actual information to try. And it's, I think it's, as much as I hate this term, it is, or it should be a common sense to see what makes a difference. And I think it's a challenge that is worth doing, because going back to my previous statement where I said that I like to drive sometimes to Yorkshire, I'm not going to drive to Yorkshire, you know, like overtaking everybody and just be on the cusp of being the fastest driver on the road for 5 hours, because it is going to be tiring. Like, you know, I'm going there to visit friends and talk to people. I want to be fresh and relaxed, so I'm just going to put the cruise control on, the you know, the one that in Eniro it actually keeps the distance away from the cars in front of you, and it maintains the speed, and it's just fun. You just sit there, 69 miles per hour, put an ebook or a podcast like mine, and just relax, or just put the radio on and just chillax, you know, classic FM, whatever, and every self and just take it off to some overtaking. And then get back to it. Let it, you know, see all the people rushing through and just be like, whatever, I'll be 10 minutes later, but I'll be relaxed. But when you're on the shared journeys around the town, you know, by all means, use the electric power, because it's there for you to be used. So I'll be the last person to say, don't drive, you know, like fun. Obviously, be mindful of other people and be safe out there. So yeah. Trying to maximize your EV experience by learning, you know, other way of driving, and because you don't have to shift the gears and do all the other nonsense, it is actually still fun. It is actually relaxing because your car doesn't make any rattling noises. So, yeah, try driving differently just to kind of expand your horizons. That's my next hint. Next one's going to be fun. So, just like me, you're off to Yorkshire, right? You're there. Why did you go there? Well, in my case, it's because there's loads of EV owners communities out there that are, you know, super fun to see and talk to people. And I'm, as much as I hate big crowds, I actually love small communities and just being able to talk to people who, you know, when you're these days on the internet and you join the forums, there's going to be all sorts of people out there. People are much friendlier and kind of approachable in person. And being able to just drive somewhere, you know, like that and just see the community, it's amazing. So, I mean, shout out to Yorkshire EV Club because they're super. But it could be just your local club. I live in Kent. We have a Kent EV meetup. There's one in Sussex as well. There's so many of them out there and they're fun. So yeah, by all means, look up your local EV community. You might not be the sort of person who likes to talk to other people, but you might be surprised how many people from different walks of lives are in those communities. And some of them just, you know, show up once, but you might develop some long-term relationships. I do call my Yorkshire EV people friends because, you know, I've been there quite a few times. And the reason I go there is because that's the only time sometimes I get to see them. So join your local EV community. And on the subject of communities, every country, we're still at the point where the legislation isn't there for every EV related things. Like we still don't have things like mandated signage, right? One of the reasons you can see a petrol station from a distance or you know where they're going to be is because there's usually signs. You know, it's quite easy to spot one. That's not true for EV chargers. Like there is no universal way to find them. It's way better than it used to be, but you still have to use an app or, you know, or other way. And that's just not the way I think it should be. And there's so many more things that need to be done for this experience to be even better. And this leads me to a suggestion that you should try finding your local group that actually, you know, does anything towards lobbying the government or your local authorities. In England, where I live, it's an EVA. And EVA England, sorry. There's loads of EVAs. It's EV Driver Association of England. And if you live in England, I suggest joining them if you're not already a member. There's loads of perks that come with that. You get discounts at different things and, you know, it changes all the time. So I'm not gonna tell you exactly what it is because it, by the time you listen to this, it might be completely different. But look it up. I had EVA England CEO on the podcast before, so go look up the previous episodes with James. Whatever country you live in, I can guarantee you there's going to be one of those around. And they do amazing work. You know, one of the reasons we have contactless mandated on all the chargers, on the new rapid chargers in the UK, is due to them actually doing that work. So, you know, meeting with MPs and lobbying the government. Because otherwise there is no voice from the drivers. It's all, you know, commercial entities, right? OEMs and charging and oil companies trying to slow down things. So, yeah, I think if you have the money and you have the will, I think it's a good thing to join something like EVA. Again, look up your local communities. Just show up once, you know, see what it's like. Show up with kids. It's usually just people sitting in a car park and then going to a coffee shop for a little chinwag. You might find out things. If you don't have an EV yet and you're still on the verge or you know, you're thinking about it, it's good to see other people and actually with EVs and get the real life stories out there. So yeah, join the EV community. It's not just about, you know, sharing sockets and sparking connections, but, you know, you might find friends in there. So yeah, do that. We might meet at the EV community meetup. If you do, just come and say hi. Another thing that I don't actually have on my list, but I think it's quite like, and not an obvious thing to mention, but EVs are still new, right? As far as OEMs are concerned, and I mean technology is, you know, quite obvious, but the way to manufacture things on a greater scale is obviously a bit more difficult, right? So unlike the ICE cars and diesel cars or whatever, where if you bought yourself a, I don't know, BMW or Audi with 1.6 something liter engine, And then you bought yourself an Opel, whatever, or, you know, I don't know, some other, you know, Fiat or whatever with the same sort of engine. There's a likelihood that these two cars will actually drive quite well, quite similarly. There isn't going to be that much difference. All the other differences are going to be in the, you know, the interior, the way you get in the car and how it looks and all that jazz. But the drivability, the powertrain, the engine is going to be pretty much the same. That's not exactly true in the world of EVs, right? If you buy yourself a Kia e-Niro like I have, and then you buy yourself a, say, Nissan Leaf with the same size of battery, so 64 kilowatts, those two cars are going to behave differently. They're going to have different powers, levels of power. They're going to have a different range. They're going to have a different, you know, loads of things about their powertrain. They're going to charge in a different way. This is the one of the things that bugs me these days is, you know, as a society, we pick our cars on depending on different factors. But you kind of have to, if you're still new to this or you haven't bought yourself an EV, you have to think about it as a person who, you know, looks at it from the perspective I just mentioned, the fact that, you know, they're all going to be slightly different under the hood. And that probably should be your primary concern. I mean, if you bought a car already, no worries. I'm sure that, you know, all EVs are amazing. Like, so, you know, they share a lot of same characteristics, but as far as efficiency goes and the speed of charging and all that, it's all going to be different. So it kind of bugs me these days when you read in a newspaper online, scaremongering articles saying, oh yeah, you know, I got myself EV and I got stranded somewhere because EVs are terrible. The analogy that I always give people is like, it's like buying yourself an Android phone from, you know, AliExpress, being disappointed with it and just saying, oh yeah, all mobile phones are crap. So don't buy an iPhone or whatever, you know, greatest Android phone is, because they're all equally crap. That's just nonsense, right? I think we can all see that. So just be mindful of that the EVs are still different, and that's a good thing. The industry is still vibrant and kind of growing and, you know, developing. So there's still loads to change and to kind of get better. Don't get me wrong, we're at an amazing stage, but there's still loads more to come. So just be mindful of that. Your EV will have loads of great things that you love about it. You know, if you're a fan of a particular brand, but that doesn't mean that, you know, all the downsides of your EV are shared with other EVs. Just be mindful of that. So as we power down today's episode, just let's remember that reaching 1 million EVs in the UK is a milestone that deserves a standing ovation, I think. And honking of a horn, let me see if I have there we go. That was very cheesy. and the journey ahead, you know, is charged with potential. and it's all very exciting part of and welcome to the exciting transition. I think it's amazing. Whether you're already an EV driver or thinking about it, becoming one, you're part of a movement that's bigger than all of us. And if you have any questions, any sparks of insight, or just want to share your journey, you know, just reach out on social media or email. Again, takeitev@gmail.com. And until next time, keep your batteries charged and your spirits high. Well, so thank you for turning into Take It EV, listening to this episode. My name is Greg. It was awesome to have you. Don't forget to subscribe, share, give us a spark of feedback. Send out an email, please. And drive safely, charge efficiently, and let's accelerate towards a sustainable future together. Catch you on the next episode where we'll be, having another conversation about EVs, or I might have some exciting guests, so you'll never know. You might listen to next episode and find something interesting or learn something new. Or I might just respond to your email. So see you later. Bye-bye.